Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host, Wyatt Wilbert. You can follow me at Wyatt Wilbert and the show at Ethos Pelicans on Twitter. This is a Sports Ethos presentation, and today we are going to be first discussing the decision by the Pelicans to defer the Lakers pick. We discussed this last week on the pod a little bit. Now we can finally go into some greater detail about it, so let's get into it. Really excited to talk about this. There's a lot of rumors and ideas being floated around now come draft time with what the Pelicans should do, but this was a pretty crucial decision by the Pelicans, and it gives you some insight into what they are planning to do moving forward with their future. So finally get some more concrete answers about that. So let's get into it. A couple days ago, the Pelicans officially decided to defer the Lakers' pick from the Anthony Davis trade. This is the last piece of compensation that was still, in question or hasn't been, solidified yet based on the Anthony Davis trade a few years ago. And they've decided they are not going to take the Lakers' pick this year, which would have been 17 overall, and instead are going to postpone that until next year. Again, had kind of touched on this a little bit last week, but definitely the right decision, I think. And we kind of talked about it last week again, that, the Pelicans don't really have, I don't think, two spots for rookies, necessarily. I think that they have a pretty solidified lineup. There's going to be a couple guys who probably leave, like Jonas and Najee Marshall, perhaps. So other than that, it seems like they kind of have their core essentially figured out. And, of course, there's going to be trades likely for Brandon Ingram, but there's not a lot of open roster space. So I think it's the right move, especially given the skill set, it seems, of this year's draft class. It seems to be a weaker draft for sure. So yeah, I think it's the right call. And given the uncertainty also with, the future of LeBron James at the Lakers, anything could happen in Los Angeles in a year. We've seen that they're constantly tinkering with the roster. They're constantly making trades to appease LeBron and Anthony Davis. So, it's not out of the question. A year from now, the Lakers could be in a totally different sort of mindset of what they want to do as a team and how they want to construct their roster. So I like this move a lot for New Orleans. I said they should have done this last week, so very excited for it. With that being said, now the Pelicans have one first-round pick this upcoming draft. It's gonna be 21 overall, and we finally got our first little hint of where they might be thinking. So this past week, the news came out that the Pelicans have scheduled a workout with Purdue big man Zach Edey. And again, this is something that we talked about last week, right? The Pelicans are gonna want to draft a big man, and who that is anybody's guess. There's a lot of actually good big men that should be available at 21, Edey being one of them. So he was someone I mentioned last week. I mentioned Kyle Filipowski potentially being there at 21. I mentioned Daron Holmes II from Dayton and Yves Miesi, and also Khalil Ware from Indiana. So there should be four or five big men that they can kind of pick from at 21. But again, this tells me that they're going to be drafting a center in the first round with their pick. I think it's pretty crystal clear at this point, and I had speculated this, but you know, them deciding to bring an ED for a workout so early on tells me, I mean, one, first off, they're interested in the guy. We're looking again at a guy who's as pro ready as possible, I think, at 21. We're looking for a guy who can step in and fill in almost immediately. And I think ED kind of fits that mold, right? He's about, you know, I don't think that there's going to be any drastic changes to his game in the pros, right? You kind of know what you're getting yourself into. He's a 7'3" big man who operates mainly in the paint. He can shoot a little bit, but he's a pretty classic back to the post sort of finisher. And I think that, you know, I would have liked to see someone a little bit more mobile. I think that's kind of where maybe Daron Holmes from Dayton would maybe fit in a little bit better. And also Filipowski too, kind of that same sort of breed, right? Where they're mobile, they're big men. This kind of tells me that, you know, if you're New Orleans, you're maybe okay with this back to the basket sort of big man again, which is kind of what Jonas was. So a little surprising to me. I thought they would maybe go in the form of someone more mobile, but offseason's still very early. You know, who knows what happened with Brandon Ingram, what kind of compensation they'll get back for him. So there could be a center coming back in that regard too. So we don't know yet, but this ED workout tells me especially that they're gonna go big man, which is the right move, right? We have CJ, we have our guard set, we have Jordan Hawkins, we have Dyson Daniels. Those are the kind of guy, Jose Alvarado, right? Those are the kind of guys who I would expect pretty much all of them to be on the roster. I think in a Brandon Ingram trade, they would probably be most likely to get rid of Alvarado given his contract and his age. They kind of have, to me, where they have a starting unit that's mostly veterans, and then their bench unit is a lot of younger guys, which we want to develop, right? We want to get those guys better so that, you know, 2 years down the line when we, you know, maybe part ways with CJ or that sort of thing, like Dyson Daniels and Jordan Hawkins can step in seamlessly. So again, the guards are not the necessity here, in my opinion, if you're going to draft a guy, especially given the class itself, like I said. A little bit on the weaker side. There does seem to be, though, some big men that can come in and help out. So this also, again, tells me they want a guy who's pro-ready. I think ED totally fits that mold. So I'm excited. I think that this is the start of something. I think that this is, again, spells out what they're going to do. Pretty clear to me that they're going to be taking a big man. I just don't think David Griffin. No, I think he knows that Larry Nance is not the answer for a full-time starting position. So I'm excited. I think that, and I do think if you take a guy like Edie or even Filipowski, those guys can step in right away and be a day one starter for you. And I would love to fit with Zion too. I think that would really, really pair well. You know, Edie has pretty good court vision too. When he's down the post, he can hit open cutter and open shooter. So the lineup itself would be pretty interesting to see, right? You get Edie in the post at the top of the key, maybe. And then you have a cutting Zion or even a cutting CJ. CJ's such a great cutter off the ball. I think that would actually play pretty well into the Pelicans' hands. But again, my biggest pet peeve with Edie is that he's a little bit on the slower side. I would have liked a guy who's a little bit more athletic, truth be told. So that, again, was kind of interesting to me. But with that being said, super excited for this workout. I think this is going to be great. So I'm looking forward to it. And I'm also excited to see who they do decide to bring in down the line. So moving on, a new Brandon Ingram trade rumor did drop Friday night. I don't know if you guys caught it, but the Knicks have been in contact with the Pelicans regarding a potential Brandon Ingram trade. A little surprising to me. I think that the Knicks are probably, this is more of a due diligence sort of thing. I don't know what, and the trade rumor, for what it's worth, would be Mitchell Robinson, Bojan Bogdanovic, and others, most likely draft picks, if I had to guess, for Brandon Ingram and Jose Alvarado. Truth be told, you know, if this is the framework or the deal that they're discussing, I don't like this move. I think it's a little preliminary, first of all. Obviously, we're in the beginning of stages of the offseason, but I think that you can get a lot more for Brandon Ingram. I don't think that Bojan Bogdanovic, who is aging, I think I like him a lot. I think he's a great scorer off the bench. I think the Knicks finally figured out like the perfect way to use him. I think coming off the bench, playing 15 or so minutes, he's a great shooter, great catch and shoot guy, great catch, one dribble, pump fake, whatever you want to call it, jump shooter. I like him a lot, but I don't think that he fits into this Pelicans roster very well. I think it would be a nice secondary piece to get back. I like Mitchell Robinson. I think he's fantastic on the defensive end, but this is also a guy who gets hurt a lot, right? He's consistently injured. It would be really tough for him to make it through an 82-game season.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
With that being said, though, you know, that's maybe the kind of guy, if you draft Zach Edey, you'd want as another center on your roster, right? Then your big men would be Edey, Robinson, and then you have Larry Nance as well. I think that it's an all right, you know, sort of center position if you're the Pelicans. But again, if you're trading a guy like Brandon Ingram, who's consistently a borderline all-star, you want that kind of compensation back in return. My argument would be maybe trying to get Julius Randle in that trade rather than the boy on contract. And again, I don't know if New York would do that. I also am not totally set on the idea of Ingram being, like, I don't know how well he would fit in with the Tom Thibodeau sort of style of play necessarily. Like, Thibodeau expects a lot of his guys. You know, you saw the playoffs, these guys were playing 45 minutes a night, some not even resting at all. You know, for a guy like Ingram, he gets hurt a lot, he's not spectacular on the defensive end, I can't imagine, you know, Thibodeau loving this, the idea of this. I mean, obviously you want a guy who could put 20 points on the board, right? But I just, the idea also of them having to pay him $50 million a year, I think, would be really tricky given they have to sign OG and Obi again. They're going to be due for a Jalen Brunson extension next offseason, it seems like. I think if you're the Knicks, there's probably better ways to use your cap space. Especially also if you're going to, in this trade, right, maybe swap out Randle, right? The difference, Randle makes around $25-ish million a year. The idea of paying Brandon Ingram 25-plus after that, right? You'd be paying Ingram $50 million a year for a guy who's not probably as good as Randle, and again, is also hurt all the time. I don't know. I think this is more of a rumor. I don't think there's any real smoke to this. But nonetheless, it's interesting that the Knicks called. I think they have pieces also that, like, the Pelicans should be interested in, right? Maybe a guy like Deuce McBride, somewhere that could come off the bench. And it's another guard, obviously, but he's just a fantastic defender, and he shoots the ball really, really well. I would like a guy like that he also has a crazy cheap contract. If you were to do some kind of trade with the Knicks, I think that's kind of the guy you'd want in return. Deuce McBride, as opposed to a Mitchell Robinson, per se. So, just a rumor for now. Something to keep in mind, obviously, and to be on the lookout for, see if anything heats up. But that was a rumor Friday night that, you know, the Pelicans and Knicks have discussed, again, a trade of Ingram and Jose Alvarado for Mitchell Robinson, Boyan, and probably some draft picks involved. But again, the draft picks, we don't need draft picks right now if you're the Pelicans. That's not the priority here. The priority is win now. Because truth be told, if the Pelicans get out to a slow start, it's pretty easy to see this entire organization having some very, very serious changes very quickly, very early on. Willie Green, David Griffin, really the whole team, could be shipped off. This is easily a team that could blow it up midseason if things don't get off to a right start. So definitely something to keep an eye on. But where there is more smoke, however, is another piece of news was that the Pelicans will indeed resume talks later this offseason with both the Hawks and the Cavs. We talked about this for a while now, and it does seem like there's starting to pick up a little bit of traction. I said even in the first episode here, if you're trading Brandon Ingram, the move is obviously to get a guard back that would be high caliber, high player. What's interesting now, though, is it seems like they've shifted focus a little bit to being DeJounte Murray their main target. It seems like they see Darius Garland as like a number two option for who they'd want in a trade for Brandon Ingram. Which is interesting to me. I like both the players. I think Garland, though, would be a better fit for what the Pelicans want to do offensively. But DeJounte Murray, I mean, I think there's just a little bit of an odd fit in Atlanta with Trae Young. So I'm really excited to see. It seems like he's finally going to be the guy again next season in some capacity, whether it's in Atlanta, whether it's even maybe New Orleans with us. So excited to see what he can bring, especially on the defensive side of the ball. He was such a great defender in San Antonio. It seems like his effort may be tapered off a little bit and maybe just wasn't a great fit in Atlanta defensively with next to Trae Young. So I think him and CJ would be fantastic. But I still prefer Darius Garland. I like his offensive game a little bit better. I think he's a better shooter than DeJounte Murray, which again I think is something that the Pelicans need more of, just better three-point shooters. But again, this is happening, it seems like. It seems like, you know, there's a very real chance come opening night that DeJounte Murray, Darius Garland, or perhaps even Trae Young can be a member of the New Orleans Pelicans. That would be, it's crazy to think of that we're going to get another All-Star player back in return, but it seems like it's going to happen, and I'm super excited. But which again, though, going back to this New York Knicks trade, there's no reason to make that trade. The trade should be to get a Wendell piece, as opposed to Boyan and Mitchell Robinson, two pieces. You want a guy like DeJounte Murray. You want a guy like Darius Garland. What's interesting, too, is that it appears the Pelicans also have more of an interest in those two guys as opposed to Trae Young, which I thought was interesting because, you know, to the casual fan, Trae Young, fantastic point guard. The rest of the league seems to not maybe view him in that light. I think it's a little bit of a lapse in defensive focus from him that, you know, maybe brings down his value a little bit. But either way, I mean, if you get Trae Young back for a guy who's out the door already in Brandon Ingram, like, you can't be upset about that. So I'm super excited. It seems like the offseason is finally starting to heat up a little bit. And, you know, there's going to be updates once a week now, I think, with this trade. I wouldn't be shocked, to be honest with you, if a trade like this happens before the draft, just because there's going to be picks involved, I would assume. I do think also that Lakers pick becomes more of a commodity now in a trade discussion, right? Now, if you need a little extra push to make a trade go through, right? Maybe the Hawks aren't super fired up about giving up DeJounte Murray. Now you have that Lakers pick for next year, and that pick's become way more valuable than it would have if you had taken it in the 2024 draft, right? Now that 2025 draft, which is supposedly a better draft, and again, with the Lakers, you know, possible dysfunction, that pick's a lot more valuable. So if you need to close the gap on a trade where you're unsure, you know, team's unsure, they need a little bit extra to maybe push it through, that Lakers pick is suddenly a big deal. So again, all the more reason why that pick was so important for them to defer. I love it, right? I think that this is David Griffin set his offseason up pretty nicely. So I'm really excited. And I'm, you know, we'll get more clues as the weeks go on. I think you're going to get little breadcrumbs little by little here. So I'm super excited. As always, please subscribe to the podcast. Please follow on Twitter, the show, and myself, Wyatt Wilbert. The show, Ethos Pelicans, as always, is a Sports Ethos presentation, and I'm looking forward to going over more Pelicans news next week. Excited. Have a good one.
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.